Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and you know, it's easy to always criticize the government, but I want to send a heartfelt congratulations to Congress. Because Congress managed to move forward a piece of bipartisan legislation. Of course, it's not on health care or jobs or tax reform. Congressional negotiators reached an agreement late last night to keep the government funded through the end of September. The House and Senate are expected to vote on the $1 trillion spending package this week, and that would make it the first piece of bipartisan legislation signed under President Donald Trump. And joining us now to discuss this and more from Washington is Massachusetts Congressman Michael Capuano. Congressman, it's great to have you back.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, so I was kind of being tongue-in-cheek there, but not really, because at this point,
at
this point, I'm keeping the government open. It's a big deal. So what's in this deal that you like?
The fact that the government stays open. It's like any big piece of legislation. There's lots of things I don't like, but many things I like. I like the increase in the NIH funding. I like the fact that Planned Parenthood wasn't targeted. I like the fact that cities and towns are not targeted. And that we continue along a comparable path that we are on now relative to across-the-board priorities.
Yeah, so
it's not what I want, but it's a deal.
Okay, so let me just fill in some of the details here. That NIH funding you're talking about, an additional, what, $2 billion for the NIH? Cities and towns, is that you referring to the fact that there are no cuts for sanctuary cities and towns as the...
That's the major item.
Yeah, that the administration had threatened to. And also there's this. There's an explicit restriction to block funding for the president's border wall in there. That's more than Democrats were hoping they could get.
I think that's correct, but it turns out that a lot of the Republicans, especially those that represent areas along the Mexican border, don't like the idea of the fence. I guess they remained quiet for a long time, but now that it's potentially real, they have finally had to vote on it, and they weren't happy about it.
Yeah. So what is it that you don't like in the bill?
I don't like some of the – we just continue doing the same we've been doing for the last couple of years. It's not really any change in policy. No deal about infrastructure, no deals about housing. Again, they don't get hurt, but there's no significant policy adjustment to it. Nothing on energy, you know, those kinds of things. Again, they're not bad. They're not negatively impacted, but they are certainly not helped.
Congressman, if I may, you know, nothing on housing, nothing on energy, you know, those small things that the entire country has been debating vigorously for years now.
the Democrats are the minority party, and we are the ones who generally push things like housing and infrastructure and things like that. And to be perfectly honest, I've been in a more defensive mode than I have been offensive since the election, because we lost the election, they won it. So I think that's my most important role at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing, though, that the bill is increasing some spending on infrastructure, for example, and that could have impact here in Massachusetts. I mean, you know, are we going to see a Green Line extension soon?
Yeah, that's going to happen. That one's in the pipeline from day one.
Yeah.
The question is, will we see a South Coast Rail? Will we see a Springfield High Speed, and on and on and on. And, you know, I would not say no, but I would say that they are not, they're not funded, and those kinds of projects are not funded. The Green Line, it happens to be funded because it's pretty far down the road relative to the process.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, Congressman, it seems as if, I mean, one read of this could be that the White House actually gave up a lot of concessions to the Democratic Party, because what they really want to do is clear the decks for their new health care bill. Is that on your mind?
Sure, it's on my mind. I don't know that that's the case. I mean, I don't think this won't have much of an impact on the health care bill. They have the problems they had last week are the same problems they have today in the health care bill. They can't make it work, even on their own side, never mind trying to reach out to Democrats. To my knowledge, they have not reached out to any Democrats in a serious way. So I guess it clears the decks politically. They can move on to it, but they still don't have the votes.
Yeah, but they don't. I mean, Gary Cohn, the chief economic advisor for the president, has been saying that, quote, we're going to get health care down on the floor of the House. We're convinced we've got the votes.
Well, good luck. Yeah. I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's like everything else. You never hear any presidential administration say we can't get something done. They all say they can, and they, who knows? I'm not going to say they can't. The president has a lot of levers he can pull, and if he figures out how to do it, he might get the votes in the House. I think it'd be even harder in the Senate, because, you know, it's awfully hard for members of Congress to go back to their constituents and say, yeah, we get rid of that Obamacare, some people will cheer, but that means, you know, no pre-existing conditions. So, yes, you have access to insurance, but you can't afford it. And if you, if you're a pregnant woman, no way you're going to get health insurance. You know, that's, the devil is in the details that some people don't understand, but the longer this goes on, the more the American people will understand it, and the more difficult it will be for them to pass it.
Hmm. So tell me something, Congressman. I mean, you know that the president in the past couple of days tweeted, and I mean, he tweets every day practically, but he mentioned that he thinks the Democrats now are the party of no, that the Democrats are the ones who aren't interested in getting anything done in Washington. Now, I fully understand that Democrats viewed the GOP as absolutely the party of no for the entire time that President Obama was in office. But are you concerned at all that your party's desire to stop these bills that are coming down the pike from the GOP now could end up working against you?
Not yet. I mean, if they get to be closer to reasonable, that may be the case. But I don't think you find too many Americans who actually think the bills that we have been saying no to are reasonable. For instance, we said yes to a reasonable bill, this funding bill. We said yes. So you get us something reasonable, and we'll work with you. And it is significantly different than what the Republicans did to Obama. If you remember, Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republican Senate, said on the first week of Obama's presidency that his main job was to make him a failed president. And no Democrat has said that. No Democrat has implied that. You know, we may oppose the president's policies as espoused and as put forward. But that's not because I don't like the president. It's not because I have a personal vendetta. It's because the policies are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to just bring it back here to Massachusetts for a second, because you're paying, what, $50,000 or providing $50,000 from your campaign to help for 2 free weeks on the Fairmont commuter line starting next week. This is the line that runs from Hyde Park through Dorchester and Mattapan, ends in South Station. $50,000 for your own campaign for free rides on the Fairmont line. Why are you deciding? Why do you want to do that?
A couple of reasons. I mean, once I learned that the Fairmont line had been subject to what I consider to be discriminatory treatment in a negative way, we had to get that cleaned up, and it's been cleaned up to all my understanding. They no longer get treated that way. At the same time, the Fairmont line is kind of like the poor cousin of all the commuter rails. They have the worst service, the most infrequent service. And because of the fact that it was being treated badly, particularly badly, it didn't have any consistency whatsoever, way beyond any other line. And when you don't have consistency, you cannot build ridership. So this is an attempt to try to get people to accept that the Fairmont line has a new way to do business. It is more reliable, and it is a good alternative to driving or taking the bus.
Yeah. Do you, just a couple seconds we have, Congressman, I mean, would we also, we'd like to see a longer-term permanent fix for the Fairmont line, right?
Oh, it'd be great. I mean, that is directly tied to ridership. If we can push ridership up, we have a stronger argument to make those arguments.
Well, Michael Capuano represents Massachusetts 7th District. He's speaking with us today from Washington. Congressman Capuano, thank you so much. It's always great to have you.
Thank you. Take care.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.